You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. Today, we're kicking off a new series called Hope Has Come. And this is basically our Christmas series. As we all know, December 1 na. Every Christmas season, there are certain things we Filipinos look forward to. For example, some of you can relate to many of these things. For some, it's decoration. For some of you, it's singing, caroling, and all that. Munang hilig niyo sa family niyo or sa friends niyo. Or for many of you, it's the food. Diba? You look forward to eating, the lechon, gathering around with your fellow loved ones. Some of you look forward to going home to your hometowns and your families. Ano ba ang sinagiging look forward nila? Okay? Now, as we look forward to the coming Christmas season, sometimes though, as we get busy with the preparation, with the shopping, with the cooking, with the gift wrapping, with the singing and the practicing sa presentations sa Christmas parties, okay, with all those stuff, sometimes we get overwhelmed or we get tired. Kasi din nakatry na mo nga magikapoy mo celebrate o Christmas. In fact, some people, as the season draws closer to the Christmas day, some people actually feel the Christmas blues. That is, they feel lonely, they feel somehow sad or as the season progresses. And the reason why we're having this series, Hope is Coming, is to remind us that every Christmas, we do have a reason to celebrate. And it is the coming of Christ. The goal of this series is for us to have a better understanding and a greater appreciation for the coming of Christ. That Jesus coming into this world is a big deal. And it is worth all the hassle that we will experience, worth all the preparation, that it is worth celebrating every year. Okay, maybe you feel like, di ko kailangan mag-celebrate this year, Tom, because mag-work ko this year, my family's not complete. But even amongst those situations, you might not have a perfect Christmas gathering or party in your homes, but we still have a reason to celebrate. And that's what we're going to learn throughout the 4 weeks. For our first week, we'll talk about this word, incarnation. We'll unpack what that word means. And for that, can you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4? This will be our main text for this installment. It says here in chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law." Now, before we get to verse 4 of Galatians chapter 4, a bit of context on the book of Galatians. See, every time you read a verse, it's really helpful to know the context or background of that specific book of the Bible. Now, the book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. Most of his letters or epistles in the Bible, whenever the Apostle Paul would write something to a person, to a church, or to a group of churches, it's usually because he's trying to address certain issues. There are problems that the Apostle Paul is trying to fix. Say, for example, when we had our Want More series a few weeks ago, our finance series, we learned through the book of 1 Timothy that the Apostle Paul is trying to deal with the false teachers in the church of Ephesus. And he's writing to Timothy so that Timothy can fix the problem. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul wrote this book to defend and explain the gospel. He's arguing for the value, the gravity, the weight, the importance of the gospel. Because what happens is that in the region of Galatia, not just one church, but in this region, sa Galatia, there were people who were teaching something else. These people were getting into the churches and telling the people that, hey, it's not enough to put your faith in Jesus. It's not enough to be a follower of Christ for you to be righteous, for you to be saved, for you to be called a people of God. No, you have to follow the Jewish law. You have to do this thing. You have to be circumcised. You have to do all of these sorts of things that are prescribed sa law, sa Jewish law. And for the Apostle Paul, that was basically trying to dilute the importance of the gospel. So he was arguing with the people, hey, this is what the gospel is. Don't add anything to it. Okay na tong gibuhat ni Jesus. And the word gospel actually in the book of Galatians comes up at least 12 times, signifying its importance in this book. Now, before we go on further, what is the gospel nga ba? Quick recap and review for all of us. I know since we're all about honoring God and making disciples, we've probably heard of this statement again and again. What is the gospel? But specifically for this series, we need to have a good grasp, at least malang a summary malang, of what the gospel is, because that's what we're trying to learn and unpack throughout the series. In a summary, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving He is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in Him. In a nutshell, that's the gospel right there. It is a good news that this amazing news happened over 2,000 years ago.
Jesus came to the picture. He lived the life we should have lived. He died in our place. He was crucified. He died. He rose again. And he offers the gift of salvation to those who would believe in him and repent. And fourth, with this installment, as we talk about the gospel, I'm going to zero in on that first line. Okay? That the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. This is important because this is basically the title of our installment, Incarnation. When you say incarnation, it means, it comes from the Latin word incarnates, which means to make flesh or to be in the flesh. I would say, for example, anyone here na mo'y ginahanga nga celebrity, there's a certain celebrity you want to meet one day. For the longest time, siguro, your only interaction with these people would probably be in social media. You watch them on YouTube or you see them on TV. But if let's say you're walking down the streets of Dumaguete one day, baka tunay mo gli plaza, uy, nandito ang celebrity mong ganahan makita. Nandito ang certain singer and a certain athlete dito. Uy, ganun siya, namalit o chips dito sa Li Plaza for some reason. So when that happens, people would say like, uy, I met this person. I met this celebrity in person. I saw him in the flesh. He's really there in person. What incarnation basically is like that. God came into this world in the flesh. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He clothed himself in human flesh. He became human, but still 100% God pa rin. He came to this world as Jesus. Inanang ang incarnation. And we're gonna unpack all the more what it means, kanang incarnation yung gina-talk about nato. In verse 4, it says here, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Now the first part there says, fullness of time. What this means is that there was an appointed time, a right time, for Jesus to be born as God had promised. Yes, God came to this world in the flesh as Jesus, but that would happen in the appointed time, in the proper and right time. When it says fullness, it comes from this Greek word, pleroma, which means a total quantity with emphasis on completeness. Full number, full measure, totality, meaning when God sent his son, Jesus, into this world, it was not an afterthought. It was not hurriedly done. Na parang, okay, Jesus, go to the world now. We forgot. We need to do something. It was not a last-minute detail. No. It has been planned long ago. And this was the proper time that God would send his son. This was the appointed time. Meaning, thousands of years ago palang, way back in creation, God could have sent his son, but he did not muna. Parang, wait muna, Jesus. Not now. There's an appointed time that you're gonna go there into this world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we actually get a foreshadowing or pretty much one of the first mentions that indeed God had planned long ago that he's going to come into this world as Jesus. Now, this is a last-minute plan. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says here, this is God speaking, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is God talking to the serpent. The one who tried to deceive Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. And true enough, they did so. They rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And they, because of that, they were punished. They were cast out from the Garden of Eden. But even though that happened, God did not abandon them completely. They were punished. But in that same chapter, chapter 3, where they were punished for their sins, God had foretold that he had a master plan, that he was going to redeem mankind. The purpose of why Jesus came into this world, which we'll learn all the more as we unpack of this verse, is that thousands of years ago palang, and way back in the story of creation, mankind sinned against God. There was a problem. There was an issue. Sin entered into the world. Man sinned against God, and that needed to be solved. And God could have easily just destroyed Adam and Eve, the girl there, for their punishment, or he could have sent Jesus, but he did not muna. In his infinite wisdom that we can never fully comprehend, God would send Jesus in such a time, at that point in time, but not this muna. And he would keep on prophesying that, or he would keep on foretelling that plan. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we were singing some of these lyrics of songs a while ago. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Now, yes, way back in the story of creation, may plan na si God, revealed niya, and throughout the centuries, he would continuously reveal that as well. Through the prophets, like see Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel had a vision of the coming Messiah as well. Through these people, he would keep on reminding his people that Messiah will come at the appointed time. In fact, the gap between your Old Testament, a part of the Bible, to the New Testament, there is a gap of 400 years. Okay, between the last time that God would speak to a prophet. And this is important because even though like 400 years of silence, the Jewish people in Jesus' time, the time like Joseph and Mary, they were still eagerly waiting for the promised Messiah because for them, the coming of Christ was still foretold. They've heard it from their forefathers, from the prophets of long ago. They know that the Messiah would come at the appointed time. And not just that, because it would come, they were also eagerly anticipating it. We say eagerly anticipating, you're willing to wait, naghulat yung for something to arrive. It's like when you're waiting for your package na gi-order niyo sa online, di ba? Sige, kag-check kung nanang delivery, kung nanang ninja van, kung nanang mag-courier, asa naman tong package gi-deliver na ako. You're eagerly anticipating itong gi-order niyo sa 11-11, okay? Or for some of you, you're eagerly anticipating for 12-12, di ba? Amo nang inyo, ha? That's what it means. You're waiting something that you're so excited of. Now, with the coming of Christ, it's the same thing. Now, there's another group of people, just to give an illustration, na His coming was eagerly anticipated as well. The wise men, as you all know in the story of Jesus' birth, in Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2 says here, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. These wise men, who are not even Jews, not Jewish people, they've heard of the coming Messiah. And they traveled far just to meet him. And this is important because we might not feel it there, nga unsa ka grabe ang gibihay nila. But Bible scholars would say that they traveled a distance about equivalent from Davao to Manila. On camel, okay? Munang gisakyan nila. Kasi wala pa may airplane that time. Wala pa may boat that time. So they land trip sila. On camel or donkey or whatever animal gisakyan nila. So, and that trip would have taken several weeks in a hot, humid place, in a desert kind of environment. And yet, these wise men were willing to travel and go through all that hassle. Well, we all get stressed biyahe sometimes. Can you imagine riding in a camel for, let's say, 2 weeks? Riding in the hot sun for 2 weeks. Abog and all of that. But these wise men were willing to do so. Why? Because they want to meet the promised king and they wanted to worship him. Jesus' coming was foretold and it was eagerly anticipated by the Jewish people and other people as well. Okay, inanaka importante ang coming ni Jesus. Inanaka ka big deal. Now, moving forward, the verses also say that in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Now, this is important because God being God could have sent any creature to fulfill the mission that He would command that creature. He could have sent just any other prophet. He could have just sent an angel of the Lord, another animal, or some kind of creation. He could have sent anything. But for this specific purpose, God sent forth His Son. When we say Son, and it comes from this Greek word, huios, which talks about anyone sharing the same nature as their Father. And who else had the same nature as God than God? In other words, when we talk about Jesus coming to this world, know that Jesus is not just a man. He's not just a wise man, a man who did miracles, a man who was, you know, who did all sorts of things. He is God. Okay? He is God in human flesh. And this is important that God Himself, the very God who created the heavens and the earth, the very God who hatched this master plan to redeem mankind, His redemptive plan, is the very same God who came down into this world to fix it, to solve it Himself. He could have just commanded someone to do it, but He did it Himself. And this is important because it tells you of the gravity of the situation that it takes someone like God to come down in this world and solve it. If you look at the army, for example, there's a certain mission na kailangan og maayong a soldier. No? If high risk ang mission, kailangan og amazing soldiers to pull it off, they would send the best of the best. They would send elite squads like the Navy SEALs or something like that to fulfill the mission. They won't just send anyone there. Kasi if anyone lang, baka ma-fail ang mission. The same way, God Himself didn't just send anyone. He came to this world Himself. Matthew 1 verse 23 says, Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with us. That's a title attributed to Jesus because Jesus Himself is God. If someone was with Jesus, God is with that person. It talks about His nature, who He is, not just any other person. He is God. It is God Himself who came to this world. Understanding the incarnation, church, is a big deal because understanding the incarnation of Christ is embracing the fact that His birth was not just unique. It was not just special. He was born to Mary, who was a virgin at this time. But it was divine. It was holy. Because God Himself came into this world. And that brings to our next part of the verse. God sent forth His Son, and He was born of woman. Now, God being God, again, He could have chosen to come to this world in any kind of way that He wished. Anyone here, you've seen the movie Aladdin? But there's this part where Aladdin walks in the city, and he had this grand entrance. There are elephants, camels, and if not a camel, but there are this many people, soldiers. There's this parade that's set before him, grabbing a grand entrance. And the same way, Jesus could have done something far greater than that. He could have chosen that the skies would part open. May light magigan sa sky. He would come down. An army of angels would line up behind or in front of him. The animals would kneel before him. Maragatong sa Lion King, nag-kneel ang mga animals. He could have had the grandest of all entrances into this world. And no one in the entire history of mankind to top it off. Wala na mas mulagpas pa ito. He could have chosen that. And yet, Jesus, when He came to this world, did not do that. Very humble ang pag-ani ni Jesus sa world. He came to this world the same way that you and I entered into this world. And that is, He was born. We can all relate to that, di ba? Kita naman tanan siguro na born tayo into this world, di ba? You didn't fall from the sky. You were all born. We were all born the same way Jesus was born. Can you imagine the humility of God? I mean, He didn't need to do that, but He willingly chose to come to this world as a newborn. Not just that, He was not born to a royal family at this time, not to a nobleman, some general or something. No, He was born to this simple, poor family who could not even find a proper lodging to stay as Mary gave birth. Nagstay sila ng asang mga animals. He was born in a manger. That's an object where you would put feed na mukha ng mga cows or other livestock. That's where Jesus was placed. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came down to this world this way. In the most humble way possible, born in the simple family as an infant. And can you imagine that? The God of the universe came to this world as a baby infant. He willingly let Himself come into this world in that way. Pwede naman fully adult siya. Di ba? Pwede naman ma-born siya, pero adult na siya daricho. Nasa bungot na yun. Pero wala siya yung sagutan. He chose to come to this world as we all did. And why? Because Jesus was born of woman to identify with us. We can all relate to Him. He identifies with us. Remembering the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ and He lived the life we should have lived. The life that we should have lived, He lived it for us. And we're gonna learn, ba nga naman kailangan niya i-live the life that we should have lived? Why go through all of that? And why is it important? Hebrews 4 verse 15, before we get to the next part of Galatians chapter 4, says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus did not sin, but He experienced a lot of the experiences of what it means to be human. He experienced hunger, pain, suffering, ridicule. He was falsely accused of. He experienced what it means to be humans, to be us. He identifies with us. And yet still, He made no sin. Now, why go through all of that? Why did God send His one and only Son to come in this world at a certain appointed time? Why come here? And Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it gives us one insight why. It says here, He sent forth His Son, born of woman, and born under the law. What do we mean by born under the law? Ano man na born under the law? Again, if you remember, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God exiled or removed niya si Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. But again, starting from chapter 3 pa lang of Genesis, God already had this redemptive plan to redeem mankind. And part of His plan was that He would eventually choose one person from amongst all the people in the world. And from him, his descendants and his family, He would make them His chosen people. I'm talking about Abraham and his family, which would become the nation of Israel. He would make them his chosen people, and he would make a covenant with them, an agreement with them. And part of that agreement was that God gave them what we call the law, a set of commandments. Now, we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments, but the law was more than the Ten Commandments. There were about 613 commandments in all. And these are commandments that talks about a great deal of what it means to be part of God's people. How to worship God, how to live their lives, how to relate and deal with other people. Those kinds of laws and commands. And they were expected to follow that. And here's the thing, even though they were people of God, no one, not one of them, was able to perfectly follow the law, which they were required to do. And the sad thing is, James chapter 2 verse 10 says that whoever keeps the whole law, tries to follow the law, but fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. Meaning it's all or nothing. It's like when you take an exam, ang passing rate kay 100%. Dapat perfect. It's either perfect, pasar ka, or maski one wrong, hagbong na ka. Inala ang exam. But how many of you know that that's a pretty high standard? Taas ang standard ni God. And you might ask, what then is the purpose of the law if no one can fulfill it, if no one can meet up to God's standards? What is the purpose of the law? Galatians chapter 3 verse 19 tells us, and this is Apostle Paul writing, why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. No one could fulfill the law. Romans 3:23 says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. But how do you know if you've fallen short of the glory of God? How do you know that you're not good enough pala? You're not as good as you think you are. This is where the law comes in. The law basically acts like a mirror. It defines what is good from what is not, and it also reveals to us how sinful we are, because makita nato how much we're not able to follow the law. You see, much like a mirror, diba? When you look at the mirror, what do you see when you look at the mirror? Yourself, diba? Your own reflection. Diba? You see who you are in actuality. Diba? Who you are, physically speaking. Without the filters, without the Photoshop, walay pahamis nga effects diha, blemishes and all, wrinkles and all, pimples and all, tanang alum nato na diha and all. Everything that who you are is reflected in the mirror. So when you look at the mirror, you see for who you are. If you have unkempt hair, okay, makita nimo kung gubot imong buhok, makita nimo kung there's something sa imong teeth, or if nahugaw sa nawong, you see whatever blemishes are there in your face. Now the same thing with the law, because the law, to be righteous, if you try to follow the law, and you want to be righteous before God, and you might say, Lord, righteous ko, I'm holding, I'm okay with a person because I tried to follow the law. For you to do that, you need to be able to fulfill the entirety of the law. But here's the thing, no one can fulfill the law. No one can perfectly follow the law and obey God. Even though you would think na maayo kay kang tao, we might think na I'm a good person because I went to church today. I read my Bible today. I did this, I did that, I gave to the poor today. I was kind to my friends, to my family today. And we might feel good about ourselves when we do good deeds, but if we compare ourselves to the law, as if the law is a mirror, we would come to realize how much fallen we truly are. And we're not as good as we think we are. That we are more wicked and flawed, more evil and more sinful than we actually think we are. Ten commandments palang daan. How many of us are able to follow it every day perfectly? How many of us are able to love God above all things perfectly? How many of us are able to honor our father, our mother perfectly without disrespecting them, without dishonoring them? All of us would fall short of those commandments one way or another. The law shows how sinful we are. So that's the problem right there. But the good thing is, the whole situation with us not being able to fulfill the law did not stay there. Galatians chapter 3 verse 20 says, the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. There was this promised child who would do something because no one else can fulfill the law. We're in a pretty helpless situation. Helpless ang state nato. But there was this promised child. And who was this promised child? Jesus, Matthew 5 verse 17 says, do not think that I, Jesus, have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Rather, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Christ came to fulfill the law. What we could not fulfill, He fulfilled it for us. And why is this a big deal? Verse 20 to 24 of Galatians says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed." Before Christ came, we followed pretty much the pattern of the Israelites. If the commandments of God, but the Israelites would rebel against God eventually. They would commit idolatry and all sorts of sins. God would discipline them or punish them. Israel would repent and God would give them another command. And then later on, throughout the years, they would rebel against God again naman. The same thing with us. Without Christ, our default is, "Lord, I'll try to do good. I'll do these good deeds. I'll be good to my parents, to my spouse, to my kids, to my brothers and sisters. I'll try to honor you, Lord." But somehow we would fail because of our sinful nature. Try as we might, we would always stumble and fail. But it's so much easier to do something wrong than to do something good. You don't have to think hard. So we're stuck in this hopeless situation, captive sa lota, captive under the law. But good thing, in verse 24, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. When you say justified, it means to be declared innocent, to be declared righteous, sinless, blameless, acquitted of all allegations. In other words, because of Jesus, when he came to the picture, if we try to justify ourselves with the law, and we cannot, because of our sinful nature, we would not be justified. We would not be righteous before God, but because someone fulfilled the law for us, we can put our faith in that person who fulfilled the law and we can be justified. Someone did the hard work for us. Someone lived the life we should have lived, and that was Jesus. And because of that, we put our faith in Christ, we are justified. Not by our good deeds, not by any merits we think is worth boasting, but because of what Jesus did. And as a result, in verse 28 to 29, "There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all alone in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Before, we were captive, we were stuck in a helpless case, but Jesus came and freed us from being captive of the law, and now we've been set free. Now we do good deeds, not to try and earn the blessing of God, not to try to make ourselves righteous, but we do good deeds because we know we have been justified and made righteous because of Jesus. Baliktad dyan. Now we do good deeds as a result of that justification because of what Jesus did for us. Now if you wrap up that verse, Galatians chapter 4, basically you would see how amazing this principle of incarnation is. That God in His mercy and grace, in the fullness of time, in the right time, sent forth His one only Son Jesus, who is God Himself. Sent no less than Himself. And He came to this world, born as a woman, to identify as one of us. Remember that song we were singing a while ago? "I was unworthy that this King that did this for me." Remember that song we were singing a while ago? Christ did this for us. And He was born of the law to rescue us, to redeem us from the law. Incarnation is something that we should be thankful for because Jesus rescued us, saved us. And that is why in Christmas, one reason why we can celebrate Christmas, even if dili perfect ang Christmas party nimo, even if, let's say, dili mo kompleto sa Christmas dinner ninyo, even if magtrabaho ka sa Christmas Eve nimo, even if wala kay budget kayo, wala kay gifts kayo sa Christmas season, you can still celebrate when you understand and be reminded of that Christ came in this world to rescue us from, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And we all reap the benefit for that. And not just that. In the coming weeks, we'll get to learn all the more. Unsa tong effect when Jesus came in this world? Because yes, He fulfilled the law, but not just that. He also fulfilled the penalty for not being able to fulfill the law. We're going to talk about it in the next week. We'll talk about redemption. Jesus lived the life we should have lived, but He also died the death we should have died in our place. And we're going to learn more of that next week, pa. So make sure to be here next week as we get to grow in our appreciation and understanding of Jesus coming into this world, that My hope and my prayer is as we go through this series, we would have in our hearts to really, you know, be joyful and be excited for Christmas, not because of the parties and events, although that's good as well, but because we know we get to celebrate the coming of our Savior, and that is Jesus.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.